Thank you, praise team. Thank you, Brother Sam, for that. Brother Robert, for that wonderful worship music. I want to share with you this morning from the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 11. It's one of those rare passages that you probably read, probably have seen at some point, but it's not one that we remember too often. But it is a challenging passage for us, and I'll have to make my little disclaimer here. I know the title says Real Men of God, and that's really what the text is about. It's about being somebody that truly is a servant of the Lord with everything they have. But this text is not just about men. This text is about all of us. It is about each of us being willing to surrender our life. So if you'll forgive me my gender incorrectness this morning, I hope this will be something that we can each, every one of us, learn from today. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, beginning in verse 22. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who was mighty in deeds, he struck down the two sons of Ariel of Moab. He also went down and killed a lion inside a pit on a snowy day. He killed an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits tall. Now in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. But he went down to him with a club, and he snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, did, and he had a name as well as the mighty three. But behold, he was honored among the 30. He did not attain to the 3. But David appointed him over his guard. I hope for a few moments today we can think about and understand what it means to be really committed to Christ, really committed to the service of the kingdom. The story you find in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 11, is one of those kind of summary chapters. It talks about the mighty men that came to David and served. They aligned themselves with David because they were tired of the way the country, the nation of Israel, was going under the leadership of King Saul. They were tired of Saul offending God and following in his own self-serving footsteps. And they wanted someone such as David, a man after God's own heart, to lead their nation, to lead their people, to be a spiritual mentor unto them. And so the writer of the book of Chronicles tells us of all these mighty men, powerful men of David, and he shares with us this very brief description about one of them named Benaiah. You won't find him mentioned in many other places in the Scripture. He's not one of those that wrote books. He's not one of those that in any way attempted to draw the attention of the world unto himself. It simply is a passage that describes for us what a servant of the Lord was like when he was completely surrendered for the purposes and plan that God had. Benaiah is praised for his courage and strength. He had done mighty deeds before his King David and before the Lord God Almighty. He was of the lineage of Levi, and so he had that priestly lineage flowing through his very veins. He was not afraid of trying to do difficult things. I got the bright idea that on Mother's Day that I would give my wife a card from the two pets that live in our house. Now, you know, that sounds corny. I understand that. You understand. But, you know, her children are grown up, and they probably wouldn't think about Mother's Day. So I wanted to be sure that somebody thought about Mother's Day in our house. And so I got the bright idea of taking a nice card and taking my big lab dog who lives with us and inking his foot and putting that print on a card. Well, that was nothing to that. He laid there like I was about to do a heart transplant on him, you know, and I inked his foot, put it on that card, and that was great. And it worked out really good until I tried to do the same thing with the cat. Now, the cat didn't receive that as well. And it really got bad when the dog decided to interfere with what I was doing with the cat. And it was a very difficult task, but I want you to know it was a great card. Benaiah was one of those guys that didn't mind. He didn't mind trying to do hard things. He faced two powerful enemies, the Moabite warriors, who were the enemies of the Israelites, and he defeated them. He dealt with the great threat of a lion who had been caught in a pit, possibly a cistern that was probably where their drinking water was provided by. And somebody had to get that lion out of that pit. And guess what? Benaiah was up to the task. He's somebody that was not afraid to do or attempt difficult things that others may have been hesitant to try. I love the story about the young man that ran away from home, and he decided he had his heart set on joining the circus. He wanted to be a performer, wanted to see his name in lights. He wanted to hear the roar of the crowd. And so he comes to the circus manager, and he says, "I want to be a part of the circus." And the man says, "What can you do?" He said, "I can do anything." So the circus manager looked him up and down. He said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to show you what a lion tamer does, and I want to see if you're up to the task." And so he takes him out to an enclosed circular cage where there was a beautiful young lady who was the lion tamer. She had that whip in her hand, and she was practicing with the lions in the cage. She would snap that whip, and the lions would sit on their haunches, rear their heads up. She would snap that whip, and the lions would get on all fours, and they would crawl toward her. And she snapped that whip three times, and one of the lions raised his head, and he licked her on the elbow. Circus manager turned to the young man and said, "Son, do you think you can do that?" He said, "Yes, sir, I believe I can." He said, "Well, show me." And the young man said, "I will do that as soon as you get those lions out of that cage." Most of us, we cringe when the task is difficult. We need folks that are willing to stand up, who are not afraid to attempt great things for the Lord. Servants of the Lord don't shrink away from demanding tasks or difficult people. It's easy sometimes for us to forego the possibility of doing kingdom work because it's hard. I know, I've been on those youth trips. I've driven the bus for those children's trips. I've been to summer camp with kids. I understand what it's like. But dear friends, it is important that we have folks who are willing to be diligent. I've made some of those visits, some of those difficult people, and you knock on their door and they show up like they've got that porcupine look all over them, and they're just waiting to insert those quills into your life. But somebody needs to go. Somebody needs to take that. Somebody needs to teach that class that has no one to lead them. Somebody needs to serve in places that are not always easy, that demand of us all of our strength. Real servants who have surrendered their hearts for the Lord stand up for what's right, even when other folks will turn their back. That's what Benaiah did. Nobody wanted to go fight those two boys from Moab. Nobody wanted to deal with that lion in the pit on a snowy day. "Oh, you know, hey, it's just a little cool outside. I think I'll pass on that. You know, that snow, I might slip in that snow, and if I slip, that lion will get me. I'm not going to do that." But Benaiah did. And what we in our churches need today are folks who are willing to stand for what is right, even if no one else stands with them. Real servants of the Lord who've surrendered their hearts to His work, to His ministry, who give their lives for His purpose, they want to see things happen in the kingdom that will honor and give glory unto God. They want to be a part of things that are making an impact. They're not those that sit around complaining, but they are the conformist of life. They don't complain about the hard work. They simply conform to the image of Christ. And whatever it takes to accomplish the task, they're willing to do whatever is needed. We need folks today that are willing to do whatever is needed. The doctor looked down at the young child in the hospital bed. And he knew that she was very sick and that she needed a transfusion of blood in order to save her life. They quickly screened the family, and they discovered that the only suitable transfusion that could be found was from her brother, who was just a few years older than she was. The doctor came to the young man, And he explained to him as best he could, "Son, your sister's very sick, and she needs a transfusion of blood, or else she is not going to live. Would you be willing to let us do a transfusion of your blood into her body that would help her, heal her, and restore her to strength?" The little boy thought for a second. He swallowed that apple that was way up in his throat, and he said, "I'll do it." And they laid the little boy out on the table, and they inserted the IV, and they began to draw blood from his body. And when they had drawn the sufficient amount, the nurse pulled the IV from his body. And then this little boy looked up at the doctor and said these words, "Okay, doc, now when do I die?" You see, in his mind, he thought, when I give my blood, I'm giving my life, and I'm giving up my life for my sister. Folks, we need to be folks who are willing to do difficult tasks, willing to attempt difficult things, not afraid of the hard work or the demands that are found therein, to be able to honor and serve our Lord with all that we have. We can understand from Benaiah's encounter with the Egyptian that he had to be a great man of faith. Now, the Scripture gives us some descriptive terms about this Egyptian that he had to deal with. He was 5 cubits tall. Now, you know, you can do the math, 18 inches 5 times. That's 7.5 feet, folks. That's as big as Shaquille O'Neal. Yeah, that's a pretty good sized fella, I'll tell you right now. 7.5 feet tall. The weapon he had was a spear. It was big as a weaver's beam. And you know, it was probably, the spear he had was as big as the barrel of a baseball bat. That's just how big his spear was. This was much of a man. Yet Benaiah was willing to confront this well-armed Egyptian soldier who, again, was an enemy of the nation of Israel. And he used his own skill, which was only a shepherd's staff, an inferior weapon. And yet he went down and he defeated this great Egyptian warrior. And it's almost the picture of that David and Goliath kind of response when David fought that great enemy, but he did so in the power and might of the Almighty God. I think Benaiah had that picture and that image in the back of his mind. Benaiah understood that if he was serving God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he believed that what he was doing was right, he believed God would be with him and give him victory over the greatest enemies of his life. And so Benaiah faced the Egyptian and overcame. Benaiah understood, I'm just a tool that God uses. But folks, in the hand of God, what a mighty tool he was. Over 100 years ago, Mrs. Horatio Spafford gathered her family together and they set out on a trip across the ocean. She had her children with her. Her husband, Horatio Spafford, was not yet able to make that trip. He was going to join his family later. In the midst of this trip, the ship came to some unfortunate incidents and began to sink. And Mrs. Horatio Spafford gathered her children on the deck of that ship. She held their hands and she prayed with them, and she prayed for God's guidance. She prayed for God's protection. She prayed for God's deliverance. All 4 of her children drowned that night. Miraculously, she was saved. When she was safely on shore, she sent a message to her husband that said these words, "All is lost, saved. Alone." When Horatio Spafford got those words, he took the next ship, the next boat that he could, and he made his way across the ocean. And as he's making his journey, he instructed the captain. He said, When you get to the point in your travels where the ship sank that my children were on, I want you to call to me, whatever time it is. I want to know. I want to be at that spot. And so after a couple of days of traveling on that boat, the captain came to him and said, "Mr. Spafford, we're approaching that spot." And he went to the front of the ship. And it was there he began to formulate for us that wonderful, marvelous hymn that we sing so often that means so much to you and I. It is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And Horatio Spafford, at one of the most difficult times of his life, one of the most burdensome moments that he could ever imagine, wrote that marvelous hymn on that ship while he was mourning the loss of his children. Here's what we know. God needs folks that live out a deep, abiding faith in His almighty power. He needs people who are motivated by their faith, who live out their faith daily, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the difficulties may be, no matter what the enemy may hold in their hands. They trust God and they depend upon God and they rely upon God. Those who are committed servants, they expect the intervention of God. They don't just pray and say, Lord, I sure would like for you to do something great. They pray expecting. They pray anticipating. They know that God is capable. They know that God is all-powerful, that He holds the waters of the world in His hands. He can do anything He chooses. And they act upon that, and they trust God in those circumstances. Real servants of the Lord, they're not afraid to attempt for God what has never been done because they stand in awe of God's unlimited power. We sang that song this morning about touching the entire world, finishing the unfinished task. Dear friends, our God is able, and we must trust Him to impact others through our lives. We choose not to see the obstacles, but we see them as challenges that will deepen our faith and broaden our trust in God. And so we use the obstacles we face as a means of growing deeper in our relationship. And that's what Benaiah did. The two Moabite warriors, the lion in the pit on a snowy day, and then the Egyptian that he overcame, all were simply obstacles that deepened his trust, his walk, his faith in the Almighty God. Real servants of God trust God so much, they know He will see them through whatever is coming ahead. Benaiah did not have the assurance of his victory over the sons of Moab. He did not have any assurance of his victory in the pit on a snowy day. He did not have any assurance of his victory over the great Egyptian warrior. He simply trusted God and put his faith forward and did what the Lord asked him to do. For you and I, it's about trusting God in the midst of difficult circumstances, in the midst of hard times, believing that our God will lead us where He wants us to be. He has a vision, trusting God that He has a purpose and plans for us, that He will fulfill our lives. Benaiah did some great things, but did you notice what the Scripture says? It was very plain. He attained a level of the 30. He was never among the three. You see, David had three mighty men that were his inner circle. They were his closest companions. They were his personal protections. And Benaiah, he was one of the 30, but he never got to the three. But you know what you don't read? You don't read a word about his complaint. You don't read a word about his disgruntledness because he was not in the elite three. Benaiah took his task. He served the Lord. David gave him a task of being in charge of his soldiers. And yet Benaiah was willing to do what David gave him without any anxiousness or any jealousy. He accepted the fact he was not in the top three. He didn't carry a chip on his shoulders. He lived his life in the role that he served simply to honor the Lord and to serve King David. I had a dear friend in my first church. His name was John. And John had retired from the paper mill. And he had been divorced and remarried. He had not been a Christian until later in his life, and so he had a lot of baggage with him. And John was one of the greatest servants I have ever known. He'd show up at my house. He drove a little red Honda two-door Civic hatchback, okay? And in the back of that hatch, to open the hatch up, there was a dog box because Mr. John liked to run rabbit dogs. Now, he just loved to throw out those dogs and hear them chase that rabbit. I hadn't been there but a week. John Lowry showed up at my house in that little red Civic, opened the door, and said, "Come on, Brother Barry, we got to make some visits." I got in the car. First thing I noticed when I got in John Lowry's car is it smelled like rabbit dog. Okay, I'll adjust. I'll do my best. Roll the window down. And we made visits. And John Lowry did not visit easy folks that were already coming to church. No, 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 no. John Lowry visited those folks that had problems just like he had had. He visited those folks that had issues in their lives that were disrupting the normal manner of living. They had been through horrible times. They had been through all kinds of addictive disorders. They were struggling in life. They were mad at churches. They were mad at preachers. They were mad at their families. They were people that John related to because he was just like them. John would come get me every week, open the door of that little red Civic, and we'd get in it, and we'd go all over visiting folks that John wanted to see come to know Christ. Well, some of them did. Some of them came to our little church. We were way out in the country, way in the backwoods. They came to our little church. Some of them made professions of faith. Some of them trusted in Jesus. John was never recognized as a great leader in that church. But anything needed to be done, didn't matter what it was. I mean, if they needed somebody to fix a water heater or somebody to sweep the floor or somebody to dig out the septic line, John was willing to do that because he loved the Lord. He'd been changed by the grace of God, and he just wanted to be a servant. He did not care whether or not he ever was recognized for any of his service. He just wanted to be a servant. Our Lord can use folks who are humbled and submissive servants. Real folks that don't mind being the Indian rather than the chief, as long as God gets the credit and receives all the glory. Real people that are not interested in credit, but they're interested in accomplishment. They want to see things done. Not concerned that their name is mentioned, but they are concerned that the kingdom is advanced, that the glory is given to God, and that people's lives are touched by the grace that only God can give. Real folks that recognize they can't do everything well, but they can do some things. And what they can do, they attempt to do. They just surrender themselves for those purposes. Several years ago, I watched on a particular Saturday, as the Houston Oilers, at that time, Houston Oilers, and the Buffalo Bills were playing in a playoff football game. It was that time of year the Oilers and the Bills were playing. And I'm going to tell you, the first half, the Houston Oilers just whooped the Bills all up and down. The score at halftime was 35-3. The Oilers were so strong that they had injured the Bills pro quarterback. And now in the second half, their backup quarterback, Frank Wright, was going to take the field. And so Frank Wright comes out. He's the backup quarterback. Most folks never heard of him. Most folks didn't know who he was. He was the backup behind the Pro Bowl player. And for a little while, it looked like that's exactly what he was, the backup. But then things started to click, and the Bills, who were behind so far, began to move the football. Then they began to throw touchdowns, and suddenly things began to turn around, and now the score is not 35-3. The score is 35-14, 35-21, 35-28, 35-35. And in the second half, Frank Wright led his team down the field. They kicked a field goal, and they won 38-35. And it was the greatest comeback ever in the history of the NFL. And it was done by a backup quarterback. After the game, they always interview the players, and they had Frank Reich at the microphone, and they were asking him all these questions. Well, how's it feel to win a game like this? How's it feel to be the backup quarterback and come in a difficult place? And I've never forgotten what he shared with them. He said, I want you to know these things. He said, I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. My sister called me this week with a song that she had found that she thought was incredible. And she gave it to me, and it reminded me of all that I needed to know about being in a circumstance like this today. And then he told them the name of that song. In Christ alone, I find my strength. And he quoted the verses for the media who are sitting there going, oh yeah, that's great. But he gave this great testimony, not of what he had done, not of what he had accomplished, but what God had done through him. What we need in our churches today are folks that are willing to serve as humble, submissive servants in the kingdom. Not for praise, not for glory, but for the honor and glory of the Lord above, who gave them the opportunity. Benaiah was a heroic man who did his best to accomplish the task set before him. He worked hard. He approached his duties with fervor and enthusiasm. And he did so because he loved King David and because he loved the Lord. Folks, you want to make a great impact in your church? I'm thrilled with what you're doing on Wednesday nights. I think it's a great step. I think it's a wonderful opportunity. But what changes the culture of a church is when we have people like Benaiah who surrender themselves for whatever task, who give themselves for whatever purpose, who are not afraid to do difficult things when they're called upon because they trust the Almighty God who is able to do all things, and they put their confidence in Him and they surrender all their talents to Him, and God uses them to impact people. And what every church today needs are people who have surrendered themselves for the purpose that God desires to touch all of the lives within the shadow of your church that are just like those folks that John Lowry wanted to reach. They've got issues, they got problems, they got burdens, they got past, they got baggage. But none of their issues, none of their problems, none of their burdens, none of their baggage is beyond the grace God has. Well, Brother Barry, what do you want from us today? I just want you to think about Benaiah. And I want you to think about who he was. Think about his service unto the kingdom. And I want you to feel within your heart today a desire to surrender to the same level that Benaiah surrendered. Yeah? Maybe there is a couple of Moabites that need somebody to put them in their place. Maybe there is a lion in a pit in bad weather, and somebody needs to go and eradicate that problem. Maybe there is a great Egyptian warrior that is wreaking havoc upon those you love, and somebody needs to stand up and put a stop to the awfulness that's taking place. Maybe today you would feel a desire, a longing, a willingness to surrender yourself anew unto the work and plan and purpose of God here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. That cannot happen until you have a personal, abiding relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. So maybe today for you, the first step is to know Jesus as your personal Savior, to trust Him with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and surrender to Him, to pledge yourself to your commitment here in this church to serve the Lord. So maybe today would be the day when you make that choice. I'm going to serve Jesus. Or maybe you've made that choice. Maybe you have been serving in this church for a long time. Then don't quit. Now's not the time to quit. Now's not the time to abdicate responsibilities to somebody else. Now is the time for you to step forward, for you to be a leader, for you to be a committed servant to the kingdom, and to give your best that the kingdom might be blessed by the talents and abilities that you can provide.